Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to another episode, fun-filled episode, hopefully, of Redesign Your Paradigm. I am your host, life coach to working professionals, Hezzy McCaleb. And, you know, I want to start the show off by congratulating our U.S. athletes in the Olympics. It's always an exciting time whenever the Olympics comes around. So, you know, now that I'm watching these folks down in Rio do their thing, it's so cool to see them compete. And you know how hard, you know, they've been working over the years competing against the best of the best, and to see them, you know, pull it out when the pressure's on and the lights are on them and the focus and the spotlight is on, you know, is on them specifically and as a team. And I've just been so excited to watch the gymnastics team, the swimming team. There was a young lady who won gold in shooting, and they just keep on doing their thing and they're going tonight. So I just definitely wanted to shout them out. You definitely get a sense of national pride when you're watching the Olympics. So happy for them, and I'll keep on watching because I think pretty soon track and field is going to be coming up. And that's one of my favorite sports. Today's topic that we're going to discuss is going to be work-life balance. You know, if you work in corporate America or some sort of job where, you know, you're there at least 35, 40 hours a week or more, this term is going to come up. And when I think about work-life balance, it really is that I think about the word harmony. So obviously, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to pay bills. We need money in order to do that. And if you don't have your own business, you're going to be working for someone else to in order to do that. I should also note for those that do have their own businesses as entrepreneurs, that work-life balance also comes into play too, because as an entrepreneur, you know, really the ball is in your court because it's your company. So, you know, whereas if you're working for an employer, they cover a lot of, you know, things that you don't even really think about, you know, like insurance and other things. They're responsible for the finances and all that stuff. But when you're the entrepreneur, all of that really, or solopreneur, even more so, solopreneur, all of that is in your court. So it's really important to be able to find that harmony, because you can get lost in the things that you do and kind of forget about the life that you were trying to do the things for. So that's why I'm you know, excited to talk about that, because, you know, achieving that harmony and peace is really something that I think all of us should try to achieve if we have not already accomplished that. And tonight I'm going to have a good friend of mine coming back to the show, Mr. Ted Hicks, who's a CIO with New York Law School, in addition to having his own radio show and podcast called Late Night Parents. And we're going to talk and get his thoughts on work-life balance and how, you know, he is able to achieve that with so much so many things that he has going on. So let's, you know, getting into work-life balance. It's interesting that whole idea, the work-leisure dichotomy, if you will, was invented around the mid-1800s. There was a guy named Paul Krasner that use the definition of happiness, that is to have as little separation as possible between your work and your play. And over time, you know, at that time in the 1800s, there was a lot of agricultural work, and that was starting to roll over into the industrial age. And people, you know, worked many, many hours, well over 80 hours a week. And that kind of ebbed and flowed as they kind of went into the 20th century. And as Americans and people around the world kind of went from working to survive to working to from a position of abundance, consumerism, if you will, the psychological landscape of employers and entrepreneurs changed as well. And so that work-life balance idea became more and more defined over time. And now through a series of here in the United States, through a series of law changes back and forth, the 40-hour work week for a good number of Americans has been established. But we know that many people work many, many more hours than that. And that can have a psychological effect on you. Here's some interesting data. 16% of U.S. workers reported having difficulty balancing work and family. And that imbalance was more prevalent among workers between 30 and 40%. That in that age range is about 19% of the people that had issues with balancing and family. And so when you really dive deep into that, you know, you start talking about what it is, you know, what those things are, and you are pursuing, you know, some job or some business. Either if you're pursuing a business, hopefully it's because you're passionate about it and you really enjoy doing it and you're not just doing it for the money. Jobs, hopefully, ideally, you can find a job that you're passionate about. But at the end of the day, you know, you're definitely trying to make a living doing something. And depending on what you're doing, you can make more than a living. You can have a wealth of abundance. But what can tend to happen is the idea of making a living and surviving can take over the idea of having a life or the life that you wanted to pursue those things for in the first place. And so that's where what I really wanted to kind of give a little bit of history, a little bit of data on work-life balance. And it really has been something that has popped up multiple times in my career. And I'll tell you a brief story about one time or how I almost got trapped in a never-ending work cycle. I had recently taken over or got promoted to a call center manager position, and my manager was very much the prototypical we'll just stick with prototypical micromanager, and I am the opposite of that. So our styles definitely clashed. She was definitely the type of person who would send emails 10, 11 o'clock at night, 12, 1 o'clock at night. And me trying to, you know, establish myself, even though it was, you know, counter to my natural style, I find myself feeling, number one, guilty when those email notifications popped up, and feeling compelled to respond to those emails. And I just remember how uncomfortable and uneasy I felt doing it. But I was doing it anyway because I wanted to show that I really took the job seriously. So no matter whether or not, you know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning or it was an email sent to me on the weekend, I felt like I needed to respond. So at some point, I never was disconnected from work. I was always connected to work. I was always looking at stats. I was always monitoring texts. I was always looking at emails and responding to emails. And I was in meetings. So it was just a nonstop cycle. But like I said earlier, it wasn't my natural style. So it definitely put a situation where I felt dis-ease as I was doing that. So finally, after of doing that for a while and having a lot of frustration and anger around going back and forth with my boss at the time, I went and sat down and asked, I mean, you know, is this something that's necessary for me to do? I mean, do I have to respond to these emails after hours and on the weekends? Because I hadn't gotten a definitive answer. And for me to feel better, to get back into my style of management, you know, which is definitely not micromanagement. I pretty much kind of monitor things and build relationships and rapport with the people that I work with, and build trust in them that they're going to take care of things and communicate with me if there are any other issues that they can't handle. So, yeah, I had to pretty much, for my sanity, draw a line in the sand and say, okay, well, what is the definitive understanding of company communication with regards to emails, with regards to, you know, all of the different responsibilities outside of the normal working hours? And thankfully for me, I got an understanding that unless it was an emergency, that I didn't have to reply to those emails. And I stood my ground there. And I was happier with myself for standing my ground, number one, but it got me back to a more comfortable place of doing my job the way that I know it could be done from a comfortable level. So, you know, but there's a lot of people out there that just, no matter what is going on, especially entrepreneurs, because everything is on them. It's a lot of pressure. The whole world's on their shoulders. So if they make one decision or not make a decision at a certain time, it could really affect, you know, whether or not they make that next dollar or not, depending, especially if you're trying to establish your business. Now, if you're already established and you have money and you're, you know, pretty comfortable not having that work-life balance, you just never get a chance to enjoy the fruits of your labor because you're always laboring. So whether you're established or not, it is key to find out how to draw that line in the sand for yourself so that you can have your work life, which is what you do to be able to make a living and take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones, and your personal life, which is enjoying your mate, enjoying your children if you have children, enjoying your family, enjoying your friends, you know, traveling, seeing the world. This is what we do the work for, to be able to do those things, because that's the actual life that we're working for. So just let that sink in for a little while. That is the life that you are working for. You know, I had a friend of mine, classmate of mine, who's, you know, he loved spending time with his dogs. I mean, that was his thing, you know, playing with his dogs and being able to be with them. And he felt anxiety when he couldn't be with his dogs for a long time because there was a situation where his dogs weren't with him because he, you know, had a living arrangement that wasn't, you know, fitting for the dogs to be with him. But I heard how much passion and how much compassion he had around his animals, and I said that's when he's happiest. You know, so when I see pictures of him traveling throughout the country and he's with his dogs, that's the life that I am referring to. You know, when I see pictures of other associates of mine hanging out with their kids and being able to be at their kids' events and, you know, being able to be with their partners and you know, go out on dates and all that kind of stuff, just hanging out with your friends. Guess what? Guess what? Even if it's just you sitting on the couch watching Netflix, that is your time. So I just wanted to get into a couple of tips. Ted is going to be coming on shortly, but I just wanted to get into a couple of tips for you to be able to focus on the work-life balance more along the lines of the life part. So think about, why is it important to schedule downtime? Sometimes for some of us out there, especially if you are just so locked in on your job or you're so locked in on your business to the point that you're like that horse in a race where you have the blinders on and all you see is ahead. And that's great to be able to have that ambition and that focus on being able to ensure that you're able to make a living and able to survive. But sometimes you can get lost in that and forget about the life that you decided to do all of this for in the first place. So when you get into that type of scenario, it's important to really start thinking about, well, you know what? This is the hours that I'm working. I need to schedule. Okay, you know what? I'm going to schedule some Netflix and chill time. I'm going to schedule some time with the kids. I'm going to go hang out with my friends this weekend. I'm going to catch that movie. I don't care what it is, but as long as it's unplugging from what you do for a living so that you can get to your life, if you need to actually pencil it in to your schedule, if you're one of those types of individuals, then do it, because the downtime is important for you to unwind, to release, and just to disconnect. That is so important to your psyche. The other tip that I would like to give is invest in people and activities that help build your energy and not drain it. So when I say people, whether it's, you know, working with someone like myself, a professional life coach that can help you get on track. If you're, you know, you know you need to get on track and you just can't get on your feet. But also, you know, in your friends and your associates, you know, make sure that you pay attention to who you surround yourself with. Because if you're surrounding yourself with negative Nancys or people who, you know, are just like you, who, you know, work, and no time for their life, then you're not going to get out of that cycle because you're keeping yourself in that cycle. So make sure that you invest in people who can help you get to that point. The other side of that is the activities. So, you know, think about activities that help you to get energy, whether it's going to the gym and getting on the treadmill, walking around the neighborhood, getting out in the community and participating in different events in the community, mentoring someone, being with your kids, being with your, you know, your significant other. Do things that is going to help recharge your batteries. So now with that said, I am going to bring on my guest. This guy has, you know, me and him go way back. You know, we would go back to my first podcast, Barbershop Sports. But even before that, we were work colleagues. And I remember when this gentleman first took over at the school that he's the CIO at. I remember, you know, the come up there. He's still there. And now he's also running a radio show that's successful in New York, in Long Island. He has his podcast still going, and he's also blogging. So he has a lot of things on his plate. I want to welcome my super guest, Super Ted Hicks from Long Island. What's going on, my friend?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Oh, man. Oh, man, I'm excited, man. I'm just sitting here talking about work-life balance because it's so important for people that get so caught up in what they do on a regular basis that you can lose track of that balance where you get so dug in on it. So now that we have you here, I want to talk to you about it, if that's cool with you.
Oh, that's cool. Definitely cool. Well, but before we get started, I want to thank you for inviting me on the show.
I
always listen to the show and, you know, all the things that you do. You know, I was a fan from way, way, way back. And then as you transitioned to different genres, I've always stayed up with you. So happy to be on here and to be partnering with you on the airwaves once again. I was listening to the entire show. At first, I dialed in on my phone number. And just to listen to some of the your past experiences with dealing with, you know, those situations.
Yeah.
Those situations that, you know, are kind of questionable. Because, you know, employers nowadays, we're in a day and age where, you know, they expect their employees, especially those in leadership positions, to be plugged in 24/7. Because they've already plugged you in by giving you your mobile device, your tablet or your laptop for, you know, dedicated email at access and or you know, a mobile phone. So they give that to you, and it's kind of like an unwritten rule.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to be careful of what, you know, these gifts that they bear, you know, that they give to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to get you a phone, and we're going to get you this and that. And you want to wonder why. You wonder why. You got to take a step back sometimes and say, okay, I signed up with this position. You know, I'm getting XYZ salary. That's based on 37.5 hours a week. Because, and I know all of us, you know, most of us are salary, but that's how you kind of have to break it down. Because where it comes into play is when you start getting peppered with emails after hours and on the weekends. And initially, if you're new in the role, you're going to feel, you know, compelled to reply back.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're replying back and forth. You're on vacation with your family, with your loved ones, and you're replying back to email. Or you're answering their questions, you know, and I'm not going to say that you're not supposed to do that because everyone has, you know, when they get in the front door of negotiating their deal, they're going to lay down the groundwork or you're going to see what the expectations are, the goals and expectations. And I think that's key, within that, you know, certain time frame when you start that new position, there should be a written goals and expectations that you go through every quarter to make sure, hey, am I meeting these goals? Because the worst thing you would want is to, at that 1 year mark, hey, I'm due for a bonus. I'm due for a compensation adjustment. And then someone tells you, well, you didn't meet the criteria. So, you know, these are just little nuggets because these are things that have, you know, have happened to me in the past. These are conversations where I've had to deliver to others or I've had delivered to me. I tell you, when you start talking about the topic work-life balance, I think about the one of the first audiobooks I purchased by Richard Carlson. So back when, before Amazon was in vogue or chic, so this is like maybe around 1998 when I opened my account with Amazon. when I opened my account with Amazon, one of the first audiobooks I received, I ordered, was Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, as I mentioned, by Richard Carlson. And it's all small stuff because it's basically the simple ways to keep the little things from taking over your life. And that's so important because you talked about leading into my introduction, you know, being with the family and spending time with your loved ones and doing fun things while, you know, you're not at work. I mean, at work is, it allows you to have a prosperous life.
Correct.
Because it's giving you the funding to do these certain things that, you know, you wouldn't be able to do otherwise, unless you have to generate some type of residual income somewhere else. But you got to ask yourself, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap of the never-ending work cycle. So easy. Because you look at your day job and you're on the hook. Because most of us, you know, most of the professionals you've had on here are IT-centric or IT-related. And you ask yourself, you're on the hook or you're new in a new role. You know, you're answering specific questions, whether you're, you know, you're a CIO at a startup site or a site that you've been at for a while. But you're on that hook. And if you're not careful or not, you could be slipping down that path of the never-ending work cycle.
Yes.
Because people, the one thing we got to remember is, the one thing you have to be selfish with is your time. And the key piece here is, you know, in your mind, whatever that magic number is, you work 40 hours, you work 37 hours, 37.5 or 35 hours, and you make that, you know, you start to say, hey, what's my hourly rate? What's my hourly rate? And am I getting paid worth, you know, my full worth? You start to question that as you put in more and more hours, that number continues to descend and decline. To the point where, you know, you're sitting here, some, you know, some EVP or, you know, a service delivery manager providing, you know, systems and services support. But since you're always available and you're always online, that rate, that dollar amount is diminished. So we got to be careful with understanding our worth, understanding our overall rates. And you know, that's the, I guess, the beginning stage of it. You know, was there ever a time when I looked at a specific scale and it was leaning towards work than other parts of life? And that's something my wife and I would talk about for years. And it's something where, with IT, you can easily get sucked into, because when I was new in a new role, of course, I'm going to put in a lot of hours. I'm going to put in a whole lot of hours. And, you know, because you want to overachieve. You want to
establish.
You want everyone. Yeah, you want to be to the point where everyone is like, man, he's really doing it. Mm-hmm. He's making a real impact around here. But you're killing yourself. And you're putting in 60 hours a week. And guess what? You go home, you're stressed out, and you tell your loved one that, you know what, I want to be bothered right now. I just want to sit here. I want to relax. I want to, you know, because you've given all of that energy to that specific, to that profession. So, I mean, these are traps that I've run into over the years of, you know, because when you're that guy, you're always on call, you're always on the hook. And but you got to understand, Hezzy, because you mentioned something earlier. Yes, you were emailed over the weekend, but did it involve an outage? Did it involve an emergency? Did it involve something that required an immediate response back? Those are the questions you have to answer yourself on whether or not to provide that immediate response. Because once you do it, you don't set the trap. You've set the trap for yourself and for everyone else, because they're going to be like, oh, well, he's always on his phone. He's always going to respond back. There's going to be a time when you're not going to be able to respond back. You're going to be somewhere. Let's just say you're somewhere abroad and, you know, you data plan or you're roaming or whatever the situation is. But so you got to be careful of that trap happening. Questions you always got to ask yourself when you run into these type of situations where it's off hours, you got to ask yourself, is what they're asking me, is it going to matter in a year? Is it going to matter in 5 years? You know, if it's some type of silly question, like I got a question last week over the weekend, someone was asking about their MacBook Pro and whether or not they can get specific applications and get it configured. And it was a personal computer. They're personal, not distributed by our organization. And I had to take a step back and tell them, okay, follow these steps. And if not, bring it in on Monday. And that was it for the entire weekend with them. Because you've got to push back. You've got to learn how to push back. But you got to be comfortable in your role. You've got to know your role. You've got to master your role. And the way you can do that is you around you. You got to have the right line managers around you, because in that leadership position, you're going to have to trust others. And that's the hardest thing, is being you know, moving from being that person to allowing the other person, people to do those specific roles. And only that's the only way that you're going to enjoy a vacation, or you're going to enjoy being away from the office. You know, because you never want to be in the situation where you're that person. If you're not there, XYZ is not going to get done. Trust me, you get hit by a truck, they're going to roll somebody else in there in the next 5 minutes, and you're going to be a distant memory. You know, they might give you a plaque on a wall or something like that, but that's about it. Don't think that it starts and begins with you, because it really doesn't. Unless you are the founder of that organization, unless you helped build that facility, unless you are, you know, your name is inscribed somewhere within that, you know, somewhere in that edifice or something like that, where you can see like, oh, this wouldn't happen without me. You know, you got to have a real understanding of your role, their role, setting expectations. You know, some suggestions I have for new CIOs that have to be responsible for so many people and things at work, and have the nerve to have a personal life. I mean, that's tough. It's tough. Mm. But it's something where you have to be confident. And that's the one thing you and I talk about mostly offline, is you have to have a level of confidence. Not cockiness, but confidence. In that you understand your role. You understand your part. You understand the functions of your role. So that you can be able to discern, okay, this question is coming to me, but this is a policy question that should be handled by administration or something that's outside of your organization. So it's key. It's important to understand some of these things that, you know, because a lot of them are tricks. A lot of them are tricks, and they trip you up. So you got to be really, really careful, because if not, you would turn into what I was. You know, a workaholic. And it's totally what I was in initially with moving into management. Because I was a lead tech. I was a lead tech. And then from being a lead tech, I was given the opportunity. Continue to be technical or go into the administrative, go into a management role. And I chose the latter. But what was good was understanding the foundation, which is helpful. You understand the foundation, you understand all aspects of the role. Now, not to say that, you know, you're going to be rolling up your sleeves every day, but every once in a while, if you have to roll up your sleeves and you got to do it, then you got to do it. But understanding your role, being confident within yourself, being able to stand. The other thing that you said tonight was standing up for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to stand up for yourself, because if not, you're going to get railroaded. Because if you don't stand up for yourself, you'll find yourself working 60 hours a week. You'll find yourself also by yourself, because your loved ones won't want to be, you know, they don't want to be at home by themselves, or they don't want to go to the game by themselves, or they don't want to, you know, do X, Y, Z by themselves. So this is the type of stuff that you got to remember when you're in these high stressful roles, because it's, and it all comes down to this: time versus performance versus cost. Time management, stress management, and project management. You take those triple constraints, you apply them anywhere, anyhow, you're going to be okay. Because it's not just to the IT industry. You can apply it anywhere in life, in your own personal life. Triple constraints, you can only have two. You can never have all three. Mm. So with that, I will decrease. And my good friend, allow you to increase and listen to the rest of the show.
Well, I definitely appreciate those nuggets of wisdom, my friend, because, I mean, you definitely laid out a whole blueprint of wisdom for anybody listening to this show on how to achieve that work-life balance when they have so many balls that they're, you know, juggling. So, yeah, man, I really appreciate it, and I look forward to your show. I know you had your podcast last night, but do you have a show this Saturday, or is it coming up next Saturday?
It's going to be on the following Saturday. This Saturday, we're going to be in the community working with some of the community activists, and we're going to be working on peace in the streets. You know, okay. Before you can talk about the police, and before you can talk about this one, you know, not treating you appropriately, you got to treat yourself right. So I've partnered up with some people and been working with them, and going to be working with that function. And in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be a part of the back to school celebration, which is going to be handing out over 1,000 backpacks young people all across Long Island in Nassau County. And I had to jump on something like that because, you know, it's about making that difference. You got to make the moves to make a difference. You can talk about it, you can be about it. So we will be back on air on on the 20th of August on 1240 AM WGBB. We're on Saturdays, 4:30 PM Eastern Time. The podcast is on Wednesdays, 8 PM Eastern Time, that is, and Late Night Parents, where we talk technology, technology, mm-hmm. education. We talk, you know, sports. We talk youth sports. We talk, of course, we do a few product reviews. But it's all tied into the parenting aspect, you know, and you got to have that work-life balance, because guess what? When you leave the office and you're traveling home, you got to put on that mom and dad hat for those of you that are parents. And that happens even before you put that key in the door. You got to get ready for that role. So your roles never change. They never change. It's just the subject matter changes. And I'll leave it there. Thanks so much for having me on.
No doubt, man. Thank you. I'll talk with you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, man. Take care. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the awesome Ted Hicks. He laid out some really, really good advice out there and thoughts around work-life balance. Some of the things that, you know, I gathered from that was you know, you definitely need to establish ground lines, or you know, as far as what is expected of me exactly, especially in a job role as an employee. As an entrepreneur, obviously with the ball being totally in your court, you're going to have to do that yourself. You know, defined, you know, where do you draw the line in the sand and take some time to unplug? When are you going to do that? Because you need to recharge your battery. You need to get to your life. So the last thing that I'm going to leave everybody with is, what would your life look like if you unplugged from the job or your business for a bit? What kinds of things are you putting in place to make sure that you can have downtime, where you can enjoy time alone, time with your family, time with your friends? When will you decide this? I hope that you enjoyed listening to this episode. I hope there's some jewels of wisdom that you can take and apply in your life. Once again, I am the host of this show, Hezzy McCaleb. I'm also a life coach. If you're interested in working with a life coach or would like more information about what working with a life coach is like, feel free to send me an email at coachhez@actualizedcoaching.com. And remember, actual is the word actual and the word eyes, like the eyes in your head, put together. coachhez@actualizedcoaching.com, and I'll be happy to answer any question you have. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.